all around the room, and tottered through the screaming voices and grasping hands and through the door onto the next flight of stairs up. Every few turns of the stairwell, a broken door opened onto the same scene. The only difference was that the cages became slightly larger, probably so as to fit the increasingly impressive array of what Snorri unthinkingly characterized as stuff that the better-fed and less battered prisoners all seemed to have inside with them. Goblins and beastmen and orcs gave way to men and skaven and even an elf. The Troll King had been thorough. On one floor, Snorri spotted a greybeard dwarf in runesmith's robes, but he didn't pause, almost running down a skinny beastman that clattered through the opposite door and completely forgetting to try and hit it until it had skidded past him and sprinted off down the stairs. Even after that near miss, Snorri only slowed down a little. The constant spinning was starting to make him dizzy, threatening to dislodge a jumble of loosely stored memories. But the Troll King was so close, he could almost smell his destiny. Innate dwarf intuition told him that the next level would be the second from last. The air smelled like the alchemist's shop that Bjorni Bjornason had made him go to after a hard night in the Red Rose. A cacophony of screams returned him to the present, and he looked up to see a rectangle of bright light against the dark stone. Snorri gave an excited yip and spilled through into a brightly lit scene of destruction. Snorri took it all in as quickly as he could. The layout of cages was similar to what had come before, but following the pattern, with larger and fewer cages. Another door, presumably the last, faced him through a pair of cluttered cages. It was intact but ajar, and he could see more steps beyond it. The door he had just stumbled in through was in a bad way, on the floor, a few feet ahead of him, where it had struck the most immediate cage. Snorri could see where the brass fixtures had chipped the iron. The hooded goblin within had its long strangler's fingers wrapped around the bars and was staring at some commotion that Snorri couldn't see for intervening cages, off towards the rear of the tower that overlooked the Square of Heroes.
"Snorri's looking for a troll king," said Snorri loudly. "He's got a destiny."
The night goblin turned to stare at him agog.
"Snorri, that is. The troll king can get his own destiny."
As Snorri watched, a shudder passed through the bars, and the goblin pulled away as if shocked, then turned back to where it had previously been looking, and squealed. A low growl rumbled through the chamber, and something detached itself from the far wall behind the blocking cages. Snorri had thought that it had been the wall, and stamped around into full view of the door. A ratman in a tin hat whimpered as the Troll King set his hand upon the top corner of its 8-foot-tall cage. The monster's crown shone on all sides against the braziers that encircled it. His stony bulk glittered under a mantle of frost. Scores of tiny mouths over the Troll King's belly yammered breathlessly until he cut them off with a sweep of his tattered red cloak. Snorri clutched his axe excitedly and drew his hammer. A mighty doom, when those he loved most surrounded him again.
"The half-wit,"
growled the Troll King, pointing a massive claw to the door behind Snorri.
"I do not care enough to wish you harm. Take this one chance to leave. I have no patience left for fools."
Snorri scowled. Sometimes he didn't realize that he'd been insulted until well after the event, but that one he got. Fortunately, Snorri wasn't in the habit of listening to trolls, even if they could talk, and instead strode under the Troll King's hands while he was still talking and cracked the teeth from a dozen gnashing mouths with a blow from his hammer. Snorri grinned at the Troll King's indignant roar and drew back his arm for another blow.
"Who is stupid now?"
The Troll King's fist hit like a cannonball.
"We will return to Carrick Cadrin," said Boric firmly. "I expect there is an oath there that you will wish to make."
"After," said Snorri sadly. "After Snorri tells Gotrek's family what he did."
Snorri came to with arms and legs flapping, just a second before he slammed into the cage behind. The bars caved around him as though a big clawed hand had just risen out of the floor and caught him. Snorri's mouth worked in pain he couldn't find the breath for. Bent metal trapped his limbs. Something screamed that wasn't him, and Snorri shifted his head around to see a gaunt human in threadbare black robes holding out clasped hands and yammering while he backed further into his cage.
"My thoughts are gifts from the gods, you moronic dirt-chewing oaf. They will not be broken by the likes of you."
The Troll King readied a fist, and this time Snorri saw it coming in good time. It was a club of overlapping crystal edges and was almost as large as Snorri was. He heaved on his mace leg, but couldn't free it in time, then turned his face aside as the blow landed. Snorri let the body drop, then slumped down onto his backside beside it. Injured dwarfs groaning and whimpering all around, he took a sip from his liberated ale skin. What had that ranger been trying to say about towns and goblins? Sharp glittering debris tinkled from Snorri's shoulders as he wobbled upright. For a second, his jumbled memories couldn't place where he was, but then the swirling in front of his eyes slotted together. It looked as though he'd been punched right through the bars and into the pale human's cage. The human lay unconscious amid a pile of glass and metallic debris that lay between Snorri and the mangled remnants of the cage's front wall. The Troll King glared at him from the other side.
"Why are you smiling?"
"Was Snorri smiling?"
With a roar of fury, the Troll King wrenched the breach in the cage wider and pushed through a rugged shoulder.
"You are infuriating, dwarf. An insult to every beast that stares in stupidity at the stars and cannot wish to comprehend."
Blinking away the last of his days, Snorri kicked aside a sheet of corrugated metal and threw himself forward with axe and hammer held high. The Troll King blocked Snorri's hammer on the craggy crystalline stuff that covered its wrist in the same way an adult would fend off a child. Breathing hard, Snorri ducked under the return blow, bashing his mace leg into the Troll King's shin in a hail of dark green shards, and then hammered his axe into the troll's waist, where it stuck with an unsatisfactory flat thump. With a rumble of laughter, the Troll King brought his elbow crashing down on Snorri's bald head. Smoke hung over the western hills, and Snorri nearly choked with worry as he fumbled drunkenly for his hammer and ran the last miles home. The village burned. Dwarfs floated face up in the Skull River with goblin arrows in them. Their livestock lay butchered on hillsides that had since been torched.
"Who? How?"
Snorri tottered back, minus his axe, metal legs stepping awkwardly on the uneven carpet of detritus. He looked up to see a knee the size of a black orc's spike-bossed shield driving towards his face.
"Oh, yes,"
Snorri thought with a grin that hurt his neck.
"Snorri had forgotten."
Dwarfs floated face up in the Skull River with goblin arrows in them. Their livestock lay butchered on hillsides that had since been torched.
"Your skull has grown thick from too many beatings,"
came a deep gravel-pit voice that jarred Snorri from his memories. He was still here, he concluded with disappointment, so probably couldn't have been out for more than a few seconds. The Troll King stood a few feet away, hunched like an ape under the cage's roof, arms spread so that they hung off the left and right walls. A joyous, self-hating animal gleam shone from its eyes.
"Perhaps that is why your brain is so slow."
"No, Snorri's always been this way."
"Then for a dwarf, you are very stupid."
"You're pretty clever for a troll. Does that make Snorri more smart or less? He's confused."
Whatever the Troll King had intended to say sank into a volcanic pit of rage, as, with a roar that caused stonework to shake and glassware to shatter, he hauled down on one shoulder without letting go of the bars. Pitted against the Troll King's strength, the entire cage wall bent inwards and came away from the bolts connecting it to the ceiling bar and the floor. The unsupported roof tipped down onto the Troll King's head, but he shrugged it off, ripping out the opposite wall as well and wielding both as improvised weapons. Snorri hefted his hammer. The spider lady had been right. This would be a mighty... The two squares of iron smacked together around Snorri like cymbals. The sweet smell of well-roasted meat filled the air. It disturbed the ale sloshing in his otherwise empty belly, and he threw up over the blood-stained flagstones. He swayed for a few seconds before a hand like a wall scooped him up and in the same motion thrust him into the stone wall at the back of the cage. He dropped to his knees to vomit, crunching the charred ribcage of a goblin raider that had been hidden under the layer of soot. A high-pitched war cry stopped his heart, and he turned to one of the burning buildings. He was hauled back, bits of rock cascading over his shoulders. Crying an oath to Grimnir, he kicked out, chipped the troll's chin, and bellowed as he was driven into the wall again. A horribly burned fighter charged from the house towards Snorri. It was Gotrek's house, Snorri realized. Fury souring the ale still in his belly as he rose, a blow from his hammer dropping the goblin in its tracks. The goblin fell onto its face and was still. Snorri couldn't feel his hands. His eyes were going dark, and it felt like some other dwarf being drawn out of the wall in the Troll King's tightening grip. This was what death felt like. Snorri was glad. There were times when he'd thought it would never happen, and it wasn't nearly as terrible as the Spider Lady had said. He saw the old crone now, over the Troll King's shoulder. She was smiling, pleased. Except it wasn't her at all. It was Ulrika. Only that made no sense. Ulrika would never stand by and watch, even if Snorri had asked her, and he couldn't imagine her ever looking so hungry to watch someone die. Then it hit him with a blow to the heart. It was surely the dwarf woman from his dreams. The Troll King bellowed in annoyance at finding him still alive, and Snorri felt himself flung forward again. It was big for a goblin, and with long braids like a dwarf's. Snorri's anger turned cold. What? Snorri turned the body over. It was a dwarf woman with a golden chain.
No!
The old lady had promised Snorri that his doom would bring nothing but pain. And here it was. A new kind of determination welled up inside of him. For the first time in 100 years, he felt a powerful resolve to live. He had to confess. He had to make amends. Gotrek had to know who was responsible for his shame. With every bone, tooth, and nail that Snorri could lay onto the Troll King's fingers, he fought, even as the blows kept coming and his struggles grew ever weaker. The last impact he didn't even feel. And then Snorri Nosebiter closed his eyes.
No!
Felix's cry hung in the hollow space that had just been torn from his chest. He staggered under the doorframe and into the brightly lit cell chamber, as though struck under the ribs with a knife. He couldn't breathe. He watched with a numb, distant kind of horror, as Throg withdrew his fist from the stone wall and let Snorri drop lifelessly from the gouge he had been driven into. A patter of loose mortar covered him like earth scattered over a grave. Not Snorri, Felix found himself wishing, as if the gods ever heeded that kind of prayer from the likes of him. The old slayer was cheerful and kind, as innocent as a child. Why did it have to be Snorri that fell? A shift in the rubble and the tangled bars warned of the movement of the Troll King, and Felix gripped his sword with a hate so sudden and intense it crowded out every other sensation. He was aware only vaguely of the racket being raised by the creatures in the surrounding cages. Broken glass crunched underfoot as Felix strode towards the towering figure. Caragul burned his eyes with the hateful glare of the surrounding torches, blinding him until the final second to the figure that slid out from behind the Troll King and blocked his path with a cold, hard hand on his shoulder. She was clenched inside a battered suit of pearl-white plate armor, like a crumpled ball of blood-stained paper. Her ash-blonde hair had been pulled ragged, as though raked by the inch-long claws that dripped blood from her fingertips. Her eyes were dominated by huge black pupils that stared out from some lightless place. The hunger in those empty pits was enough to startle Felix from his grief, but even then it required a conscious moment to recognize Ulrika behind that twitching, snarling visage. What did he do to you? Ulrika merely hissed and drooled. Behind her, Throg turned fully from the wall and drew himself as near to his full height as the ceiling allowed. His tattered red cloak fell back from his shoulders to reveal a chest riddled with regeneration scars, crossbow bolts, tumorous warpstone growths, and mouths that gasped in a constant fix of hunger or suffocation. At the sight of a familiar axe embedded in the troll's waist, Felix gave a strangled cry of loss and took an unconscious step back. The Troll King lifted his gaze over Felix as the sound of huffing men finally rounded the last turn of the stairwell, and Gustav, Kolya, and the rest crunched out onto the carpet of broken glass, doing their best to shield their eyes from the sudden glare. Gotrek followed just behind, a consequence only of his shorter stride rather than any sign of his wounds catching up with his formidable stamina. His axe glowed red, as though hot from the forge, bright even by the standards of the overlit chamber. Ulrika slithered back from the touch of the runelight on her skin. Gotrek absorbed what had happened with a single sweep of his unblinking gaze.
A good death. Well earned.
Felix bit on the impulse to snap back with something sharp. It was easy to be magnanimous now. But where had Gotrek's compassion been when Snorri was alive and hurting? Whatever secrets Snorri had wanted to tell his friend about his shame went with him to his afterlife now. Watching Gotrek's axe warily, the Troll King edged backwards, iron bars and alchemical apparatus buckling underfoot as he moved towards another open door at the far side of the chamber. Felix started after him, but Ulrika's marble grip on his shoulders stopped him in his tracks with a gasp, forcing him to lower his sword as the effortless crush cut off the blood to his arm.
"These are the friends that abandoned you to this, Ulrika," said Throg, continuing to back away towards the door.
The vampiress bared her fangs and snapped at the mention of her name, but some command in the Troll King's voice spoke directly to the beast that now owned her.
There are things I cannot leave behind. Ensure that none pass, and their blood is yours to feast on.
That elicited a mindless grin, and Felix groaned as the pressure on his shoulder intensified. Did Ulrika even realize her own strength anymore?
This isn't you, Ulrika, I know it. Help us to stop him. Come back to the Empire with us.
Ulrika met his eyes. But if she comprehended a word of what he said, there was no sign of it. Her fangs glistened with bloody saliva. She stared at his temple vein, lips twitching as a shudder of hunger passed through her body and elicited a gasp from Felix as it reached the hand gripping his shoulder. With only his free hand, Felix managed to lift the tip of his sword off the ground.
"I told you, manling,"
said Gotrek as he strode forward with axe raised.
"Didn't I tell you?
Go after the troll!"
Felix screamed.
"Ulrika is mine! Do you hear me?"
Never in his career as Gotrek's henchman had Felix dared speak to the slayer like that. But without a word spoken to convey his understanding, Gotrek lowered his axe and ran past. Ulrika hissed and looked up to watch the dwarf go, caught in animal indecision between satisfaction now and the command of a master who already seemed a foggy memory. It was all the opening that Felix could hope to expect. With a cry that gave vent to all his pain and his grief, Felix lashed around with his sword. He knew that he had little chance of causing a being as powerful as Ulrika anything more than an inconvenience with a blow struck from his supine position at Ulrika's feet. But he did it anyway. The ornate dragon's maw grip guard cracked her in the ear, and the base of the blade scored a shallow cut across her scalp and elicited a startled bark. In an agonizing pulse of sensation, Felix felt blood rush back into his arm as Ulrika's grip loosened, and then instinct took charge. Pushing up through his buckled knees, Felix rammed himself into Ulrika's chest. She might have had the strength of 20 men and powers beyond his ability to comprehend, but in one sense at least, she was still a rapier-thin woman, far lighter than he was, and they both fell to the ground. Ulrika reacted like a cat, flipping onto all fours and punching deep into the stone where Felix had fallen before rolling hurriedly away. Again, she turned to chase after Gotrek, but Felix brought her attention back with a stabbing thrust for a gap in her back armour, where buckling had caused the shoulder plates to push apart. Spotting the stroke at the last second, the vampiress spun away with frightening speed, drawing her sabre in the same blinding motion and parrying Felix's sword with an impact that ravaged through his still-aching shoulder. Lips twitching, transitioning between something not quite animal and something almost human, Ulrika smiled at something behind Felix's back.
"My loves, see how this man threatens me. Protect me."
Felix's heart sank as he felt men close on him from behind.
"No, Ulrika, please, no."
"Put down the sword, uncle."
Felix shifted to try and cover his side with the cage to his left. But what the men lacked in martial discipline, they made up for in brawler's instincts, and that included knowing how to corner one man into a tight spot with five. Felix, though, didn't take his eyes off Ulrika, or whatever it was she had let herself become.
"You're not yourself, Gustav. If any of this makes any sense to you right now, then I'd love to hear it." "Oh, it makes sense. You're jealous."
Felix shook his head, eyes forward.
"Don't lie to me. I read that pathetic Fennig dreadful you call a biography. I know that you and General Stragoff were together in the past. You had your chance and squandered her. You disgust me, you adulterous popinjay."
Maybe it was that final barb that made him snap, but Felix spun around and threw a punch to the jaw that snapped back Gustav's head and knocked the man cold before Felix even knew what he was doing. Gustav flopped into the arms of his man behind.
"One small lapse, damn you!"
"Dos canale!"
Kolya boomed approvingly.
The Kislevite, apparently forgotten by everyone, observed proceedings from the doorway. He lifted a foot and drew a long hunting knife from his boot.
"A good hit for an Empire man."
Ulrika snarled and lunged for Felix, just a second after her thralls fell on Kolya. This time Felix was able to anticipate her speed, even if he could never hope to match it, and got his sword in the way. The phenomenal application of strength smacked Felix's sword against his own mail and staggered him into the back of a grizzled soldier, just as he was about to thrust at Kolya with a spear. The strike went wide. The Kislevite parried another with his knife, then clubbed his attacker senseless with an elbow between the eyes. The soldier crashed back against the bars of the cage behind him, leading to an upsurge of noise from the prisoners still held all around. A boom sounded overhead, and dust rained from the ceiling. But Felix had no time to consider it. He pushed the spearman out from under him and returned his attention to Ulrika. Why was she still here? Gustav's distraction had given her ample opportunity to escape. The vampiress twitched, a ripple tracking the course of her jugular vein, as if some pernicious corruption fought with her own vampiric blood for dominance.
"I dreamed of you after Krieger remade me. So many days I dreamed of hunting you, catching you, tearing the blood from your heart, and feasting until I drowned."
Disgust crawling up his throat, Felix angled his sword for a rising slash across Ulrika's chest. But before he could make the swing, Ulrika extended a long claw and uttered what sounded like a lullaby, and the strength in his limbs began to fade away. Felix gasped at the sudden paralysis and sought reflexively to bring his sword back up into a guard. His arms remained stubbornly where they were, not numb, not dead, just stuck. The din from the surrounding cages had reached fever pitch, and Ulrika smiled as if nothing could be more pleasing, watching the brawl being fought behind Felix's back. She reached out to stroke Felix's cheek with the back of her hand, knotting her claw in his beard.
"I lied to you, Felix. You left Katerina with child to be with me."
Felix pulled back his head, but there was only so far he could defy her while she controlled his arms and legs.
"I suspected," said Felix. "Helbrar showed me a vision of a child and..."
He trailed off as his mind ran back to an event that he had not since considered the ramifications of.
"You knew from the first moment.
I thought you must have been mistaken, but you knew.
and you intended to make Kat a vampire anyway. Angrily, he tried to lunge at her, but to no avail. You would have killed my child! Ulrika gave a hissing laugh, delighting in his futile struggles and his pain, and dragged the claw in his beard down to his throat. The hairs all over Felix's body tingled, and he felt a pressure building on his ears. Powerful magic was being gathered somewhere nearby, and, judging from the feral gleam currently occupying Ulrika's eyes, Felix doubted it was hers. His eyes rolled left to where a skaven hissed at him with unfettered malice through the bars of its cage. Felix groaned. They were surrounded by sorcerers whose captor had just fled. No wonder he felt that he had walked right into the jaws of a trap.
Let him go, Ulrika.
The voice came from the direction of the doorway that had just taken Gotrek and the Troll King. The torches bracketed either side of it burned with an eerie absence of any light, and the cages and floor space around them were mired in blackness, from which Felix could discern only the outline of a human figure. The voice was familiar, but etched with a deep pain that Felix would never have forgotten had he heard it before. It was the voice of a man who had seen how the world was to die. At the sound of it, Ulrika cringed, as if from an open flame, and turned her face from Felix to see it.
Mix, this is for you.
I was not asking.
Squinting into the gloom, Felix saw him. Captivity had changed him. He was gaunt, hunched, and unwashed, apparently wearing the same ivory and gold battle magister's robes in which he had been taken captive half a year ago at Alderfen. The change that had come over him, however, went far beyond that. The whites had faded utterly from his eyes, and his skin had bedimmed to a mealy grey. It was as though every pure glimmer of light had been drained from his body. There could be no mistake, though. It was Max. Ulrika flung Felix down, as though he had been trying to force himself upon her, and turned instead to Max.
Help me, Max. Help me. I didn't want this. I thought I would be strong enough. I thought that Felix...
A shudder racked her armored body. Her head jerked as if to shake off some intrusion of her mind, and she balled her clawed hands into fists.
I was doing what had to be done. I'm just so hungry.
I see that, said Max, sorrow in his bearing. And I can help you.
The wizard extended a hand, and through a clear strain of willpower, the shadow that enveloped that portion of his body began to force out a sublimating white light. Ulrika shied away from it, meshing her claws before her eyes like a shield, and, in a sibilant tongue that hissed betrayal, spat a counterspell of her own. Felix felt his own open wounds shiver from the touch of dark magic, and then gasped as blood was drawn from them to thread through her hair like a lover's forget-me-nots. Strength returned to his limbs as her attention left him behind, and he redoubled his grip on his sword. She was so achingly beautiful. And she was right, of course. He would always love her. He swung his sword for where her shoulder plates hung loose, decapitating her in one clean stroke. A sob burst from him unexpectedly, and he had to cover his face with his arm and take several heaving breaths before he dared look at her body. It was surprisingly bloodless and shockingly mundane. There was no cloud of dust or sudden onset of rot. But then Ulrika had been relatively young. There were mortal men still living who were the richer for sharing in her life.
Strovje, said Kolya with a gentle pat on the back. In Dushaika, dead things go in the ground, and we do not expect them to grow.
Felix ground his eyes and held his tongue. There was just too much death.
You did not have to do that, Felix, said Max quietly. She was a child with those powers. She could not have harmed me.
You shouldn't have been the one to do it, said Felix, pinching tears from his eyes and wiping his nose on his cloak.
I think you loved her more than I ever really did. And you always were more deserving of her.
Maybe that was true once. Now,
The mage looked down at his shaded hands. Nagash's rise affected everyone with a close bond to the ether. Perhaps that is why Ulrika fell so far so fast.
No. She was always this way. She was always too in love with strength.
He took a settling breath and turned to Max, reaching out to take the wizard's arm. He'd expected it to be cold, but aside from being far too thin, it felt more ordinary than it looked.
Are you well enough to go?
Max smiled.
As opposed to being well enough to stay. Just give me a few minutes. It will take that long to heal these men, in any case. And doing something good with my magic will undoubtedly be a restorative for me as well.
He glanced back through the bars of the nearest cage, past the hissing rat man, to something beyond.
Strange how being on this side of the bars changes one's perspective.
He sighed.
At the time, it all seemed so right. But I fear there is also a terrible mistake I need to rectify.
Felix nodded and turned to Kolya. The rangy Kislevite was resheathing his knife in his boot.
What are you doing?
I swore to see the Zabogia die,
said Kolya, tapping the concealed blade.
So I will not need this.
Chapter 18. The Honesty of Death. Snow drove in through the high windows. It swirled and it cut and it froze the eyes if they stared too long into the churning white. Wherever there was an object large enough to stand against it, the snow piled up in drifts, half-buried treasure glittering on the surface like crystals in white stone. The pinnacle of the ice tower was a trove, and one that had been collected by a most unfussy magpie. Rare books in filigreed leather bindings lay in stacks, or in snow-covered heaps beside jewelled weapons, artifacts of Scythian silver or Ropsmen amber, and items of a scientific or magical nature, so arcane in their value that only a handful of men left in the world would recognize them as precious. Against one wall, raised on a plinth of shields and chests and other artifacts all buried in snow, rested the ducal throne of Prague. It was a grim, imposing affair, as befitted the cursed city, carved from a single piece of rare Shirokish oak and embellished with cold stone. The strength or guile required to maneuver it to this high place was astounding. Incalculable wealth, troves of knowledge and cultural beauty lay scattered like seed for the snow. Standing against one arm of the throne was a portrait of a raven-haired beauty with the eyes and cheekbones of the Sylvanian aristocracy, before the coming of the vampire counts, and garbed in the attire of that era. It looked to be a signature piece of the great portraitist Cantor, one of the most influential to emerge from a city that had in his time been as famed for its culture as for its high walls and its cossars. It was worth a fortune. And then Gotrek put his foot through it. The backing board cracked under the slayer's iron-shod boot, ripping the canvas, while the frame, itself a minor work of art, snapped like a twig as the dwarf kicked the encumbrance off his ankle and ducked. The Troll King's massive stone hammer smashed the ducal throne to flying splinters. Gotrek covered his face with a massive arm and dived for the cover of a Gospodar tapestry, but too slow to prevent his arm and back from being stippled with slender wooden daggers. Throg bellowed in horror at the irreplaceable beauty he had destroyed, goading himself to ever greater fury as he brought his hammer crashing down on that tapestry mere moments after Gotrek had got clear and hacked his axe across the monster's shins. Felix wondered at the contradiction of a monster who would collect and treasure such things. When he was reminded of something he had read, it might have been a play by Taradash, which described a great work of art as Loneliness's Window. Then he thought he understood. Throg lifted his bleeding leg, the wound already clenching shut, and stamped the foot down where Gotrek had been. Snow flew back into the air to add to the swirl. Coins and jewels scattered like marbles. Felix debated whether or not to intervene, but this was Gotrek's fight, as much as Ulrika had been his. It was Troll King against Troll Slayer. But more than that, it was about vengeance for fallen kin, and the Rememberers had no part in it. Gotrek stood in knee-deep snow, his chest rising and falling like a bellows. The rune light of his axe on the snow and his steaming breath gave him a red aura, deepening the dwarf's empty eye socket until it resembled a pool of blood, and throwing short and lancing shadows from the arrow in his bare chest. His crest was singed by acid and fire, but somehow, like the Slayer himself, it still stood. The Troll King came in with his huge sledgehammer in a short grip, wielding the stone hammerhead almost as an extension of his own fists. Gotrek met the Troll King blow for blow, fighting with jaw clenched and teeth bared. Besides the rasp of his breath and the occasional grunt as his axe struck rock armor from Throg's hide, the Slayer fought in bitter silence. After one brutal exchange that had Gotrek furiously ducking and parrying, the Troll King gave a bottomless howl of frustration and flung his hammer out to its full length. He caught it at the base of the haft and swung it over his head, a dipping and cresting figure of eight that ploughed through antique cabinets and projecting columns alike, and filled the chamber with a withering haze of debris. Felix swore. The chamber was surprisingly large when devoid of cages, but not nearly big enough for his comfort just then. He flung himself back to the wall and pressed himself flat as the hammerhead shot around at head height with a whoomp. Displaced air thumped his face. The bellows of the Troll King filled the chamber. Out of the corner of his eye, he saw Kolya stumble into a dresser and then drop into a fetal crouch as Throg's hammer ripped through and buried him in kindling. Felix had a moment to think while the hammerhead shot around the room in an arc of destruction, before whirring back at floor level. At the last second, Felix clambered onto a gold-banded pinewood chest, took a breath, then screamed as it was smashed apart from under him. The hammer's impetus threw him a short way, and he landed on his feet in the snow by one of the gaping windows. The ground beneath him wobbled, and he realized he must have landed on a buried plate or shield. His heart lurched as it pitched him towards the window. He flailed, but there was nothing to grab that hadn't already been reduced to firewood, and for a second, in which time slowed to a heartless crawl, it felt that the only thing holding him aloft was the icy wind pushing against his back. His fingers clawed through snow and air, until a rag-bound hand caught them and pulled him back from the edge. Kolya flinched and dragged Felix low, as the Troll King's hammer whirred not far overhead. Felix nodded thanks and threw himself up against the wall beside the window, spreading his arms across it to reassure himself that it was not about to be taken away. Unable to help himself, he looked down. His stomach turned. It was a long way down to the Square of Heroes. The snow blinded what should have been a view across the entire city and beyond. Felix could see ghost glimmers of light within the snow. Occasionally, another would flare brightly into existence before burning back. It could have been fires spreading through the city, some kind of artillery bombardment from the besiegers without, or perhaps even some kind of magical assault. It was impossible to say for sure. The wind rushing through his hair brought thin and distant cries, like the sound of the sea heard through a shell.
"I do not recall the troll having that weapon before," said Kolya.
Tearing his eyes from the view, Felix clasped his hands around his sword. It seemed likely that Throg had stored a weapon here for this eventuality, planning the necessities of an escape that he had foreseen might one day be required. Felix found himself looking around the devastated chamber, wondering what treasure the Troll King could not leave Prague without. The thought saddened him. Here was Kislev, and he was watching its destruction.
"Enough of this!"
Felix yelled, long hair whipping about his face as he brought up his sword.
"I didn't come all this way to watch at the end."
"Wait!"
Kolya shouted back.
"Give the Zeboikia his chance!
Fulfill your oath your way. I'll do so in mine."
A throaty roar pulled the men's attention back from the precipice, in time to see Gotrek's axe slice through Snorri's embedded weapon and cut deep into the Troll King's abdomen. Thick blood spurted through the Slayer's crest, and Throg's bellows turned from anger and frustration to pain. Scything his hammer back across his path, Throg stumbled back. Almost immediately, the wound began to regenerate, but Gotrek's axe struck faster even than the Troll King's metabolism, carving up fresh wounds faster than the old ones could be healed. The Slayer was tearing the Troll apart piece by piece.
"I can make you a rich dwarf, Troll Slayer," Throg roared,
making a desperate parry and losing a thick wedge of his hammerhead to Gotrek's star metal blade. Gotrek's axe answered for him, turning the Troll King's hammer and slicing its blade through the mouths in the mutant troll's side, and tearing off a scrap of red cloak. Throg clasped his hand to his bleeding hip and howled so loudly that the snow whipping around him was momentarily shaken to a standstill.
"There is wealth here beyond your imagining! A copy of the Karak Ungor Book of Grudges, perhaps, brought to Prague by its people after the Hold's fall. Now it is here. There is more. It is yours."
Gotrek ground his teeth and pressed the Troll King into full retreat with a storm of blows. He was being pushed towards the window, Felix realized, sliding out of the way and circling around the chamber wall with his sword raised in a guard. Throg caught the bright flutter of his shredded cloak and turned to face him. His huge body was framed within the opening by a rippling white canvas of snow.
"An alliance between my troll country and the Counts of Sylvania, Felix. Think of it. Max was wise enough to understand that I can save your empire."
Felix shook his head. He didn't consider himself especially wise, but he understood the Troll King's argument well enough. Maybe it was even true that alliances with acceptable monsters like Throg were the only way that the Empire would survive the current strife. Ulrika had certainly thought that way, but she had been cozened by easy power, and all Felix saw when he tried to see things her way were the bodies of those he loved. Snorri. Ulrika. Even poor Damir had deserved better than he'd got. A cold fury simmered in his chest. How did this beast even dare look him in the eye and request a boon of him? He took a deep breath and returned the Troll King's gaze. Felix lowered his sword tip to the ground and gave the Troll King nothing.
"I am surrounded by fools," Throg growled,
sweeping up his hammer and sending Felix and Kolya scrambling for cover. Gotrek simply stood with a faint leer of condescension on his brutal features. Throg held his hammer poised above his head, with the Slayer in his sights, and roared with confounded intellect.
"There is not one here whose race deserves to survive more than mine!"
Gotrek stepped negligently to one side, as Throg's overarm stroke crashed through snow and flagstones alike with a force that shook the floor and had Felix hugging the wall for fear that it would collapse. Gotrek stamped his boot on the hammerhead as if to pin it down, then stepped fully onto it and brandished his axe above his head.
"My father fought the Bloodsuckers at Hellfen. I'd sooner spend the rest of my days digging dwarfs' graves than lend my axe to them, or you."
A look of malignant cunning entered Throg's eyes, and in that second, Felix saw what the troll meant to do. If the Slayer didn't move when Throg pulled back his hammer, then Gotrek was going to be going right over the troll's shoulder and out of the window for good measure.
"Fools all!" Throg roared,
drowning out Felix's warning shout as huge muscles bunched under the Troll King's arms, and he pulled. Gotrek swayed for balance as he rose off the ground, spreading his feet across the stone and bringing his axe streaking down to shear through the hammer's wooden haft. The Slayer rode his blockish stone mount for another few feet before it ran out of momentum and crashed back to the ground. The Troll King, however, found himself suddenly pulling against nothing. His arms flew back over his head, and the mammoth beast stumbled. A foot trod in emptiness, and Felix saw the comprehension in Throg's bitterly intelligent eyes as the distant earth secured its grip. The Troll King screamed as he fell. Felix tried to track his fall, but the blizzard had swallowed him whole and soon blew over even his cries. It was as though the Troll King had fallen into a pit with no bottom. Shaking his head, Felix withdrew from the edge. He felt like he hadn't taken a breath in days. It was done. They were probably all dead men. But it was done. Not for the first time, he found cause to pick fault with whatever so-called destiny had brought him to this sorry place and time.
"Charles thought it was cleverer than everyone," said Gotrek,
peering down with his one good eye, before spitting after Throg to add a salty dose of insult to his injuries, and then stabbed a reversed thumb into his chest beside the arrow that was still stuck there.
"Well, this dwarf was an engineer."
"Are you sure he is dead?" said Kolya. "It is a big fall, but he is a troll."
With a grunt, Gotrek turned his back on the ledge and leant his axe against his shoulder.
"I'm not walking all the way down there to find out."
The slayer deflated and shook his head glumly. He turned to Kolya.
"That old woman promised me a doom."
"And one for your companion,"
added Kolya with a pointed nod towards Felix. Felix looked at them both blankly. This was, unsurprisingly enough, news to him. No one explained themselves, but he found he couldn't rid his mind of the image of a headless body in bloody white plate. Ulrika.
"She also promised one for Snorri."
Snorri Nosebiter stood under the doorway at the top of the stairs, and Felix doubted he had looked as hale on the day he departed Carrick Cadrin for the north. The injuries he had suffered in the battles leading up to the citadel had been closed. Even the ugly and infected wounds that the removal of his crest of nails had left in his head had shrunk to pinpricks of scar tissue. If not for the blood that no one had yet found time to clean from his massive torso and the rips in his breeches, Felix would have assumed he was looking at a ghost. Felix would have kicked himself if he wasn't laughing so hard. Snorri wasn't dead at all. Max Schreiber followed the old dwarf up, looking tired and drawn, but his efforts healing Snorri and the others seemed to have proven the purgative to the system that the wizard had thought it would be. That eerie shadow still clung to him, but he seemed more himself, even finding the spirit to express dismay at the ruined treasures around him. Looking troubled and confused, as though just woken from an unsettling dream, Gustav and his men filled the stairwell behind the old slayer's broad shoulders. They might all have been just portraits of men, born on Snorri's back for all the attention they received from Gotrek. Even Max, with all the strangeness of his appearance, garnered little more than a raised eyebrow.
"Snorri has to talk to you,"
said Snorri, staring fixedly at Gotrek. Felix had never seen the simple-minded dwarf so focused, so intense.
"If it's about your shame, then I still don't want to hear it," said Gotrek.
Felix shook his head. For a race so infamously resistant to altered circumstances, Gotrek had taken his friend's near resurrection in his stride. "Snorri," said Felix in his most conciliatory tone, sliding between the old slayer and Gotrek, "perhaps this isn't the best time—"
"No!"
Snorri roared, striding forward and pointing an angry finger past Felix at Gotrek.
"No! You will listen to Snorri now!"
Felix held up his hands in an appeal for calm, but he might as well have been invisible. Gotrek stuck out his chin and squared his shoulders.
"I'm listening."
That seemed to take Snorri aback, and his upper lip started to tremble. Felix noticed that he was carrying something golden in his hand.
"Sigmar, no," Felix prayed.
He had already lost Snorri once. As if Felix were a child, Snorri pushed him out of the way and tossed the golden chain towards Gotrek, who snatched it out of the air without looking. His one-eyed gaze held Snorri's for a moment, before lowering to his open palm. His breath caught, and for a moment Felix thought that both dwarfs were going to weep. But then Gotrek's expression darkened, as if the sun had just passed away.
"The spider lady told Snorri that when all his friends were together again, he would have his doom. She told him it would bring nothing but pain."
Gotrek held out the hanging chain.
"You tell me where you found this Snorri Nosebiter, and pray that it's a good tale."
Snorri's eyes were puffed red as he shook his head, But though there was a tremor in his voice, his words were clear, as if recited from rote.
Snorri was there that day. He went home after he and old Borek lost you in the wastes. It is his fault nobody warned them of the goblins. It is his fault.
The threatened crack appeared at last, but Snorri managed to pass it and continue.
That you murdered that thane and had to become a troll slayer. It is all Snorri's fault.
Gotrek hadn't moved a muscle, but his eye glittered. I'm sure that's not true, said Felix. Attention hung over the chamber, as if the wind no longer blew, and the temperature of the snow had dropped to somewhere far below the point at which human marrow froze. Gustav looked between the dwarfs, as if they had to be mad, and Felix didn't blame him. Max simply wore the stunned look of one too wearied by horror to reasonably process any more. Collier, however, had the fearful look of a man watching prophecy unfold. Instinct caused Felix's fingers to tighten around his sword's grip. With a conscious effort, he forced them to relax. What exactly did he plan on doing with it? Would he fight Snorri? For that matter, would he fight Gotrek?
It's not your fault that you couldn't save Gotrek's family, said Felix more firmly.
However stubborn the two dwarfs wanted to be, this foolishness was not going to end in violence if Felix had any sway at all over either of them.
Helge was still alive, said Snorri.
There was a faint rattling sound that Felix realized was Gotrek's axe chain. The dwarf held his weapon so tightly that it shook.
And the little one?
One of the pieces of Felix's heart broke a little more. Little one. That was what Gotrek called Kat. Shalya's tears. That had been what Gotrek called his daughter.
What of Gerner, Snorri?
Snorri shook his head. His eyes were wet, his cheeks red, and it looked like opening his mouth now would be the breaking of the dam.
Tell me, what happened to my wife, you clod-witted Zaki?
Tears streaking unchecked down his face, Snorri held out his hammer.
It wasn't...
He paused, corrected himself.
It was Snorri's fault. She was burned. It was smoky. Snorri thought it was a goblin. But it was Snorri's fault.
Felix felt the death knell in his heart as Snorri uttered his next words.
It is Snorri's fault you are a slayer now. Snorri killed Helge.
One muscle at a time, Gotrek's face tightened into an image of such primal fury that Felix found himself backing out of the way of it, lest he unintentionally make himself a target. Gotrek glared at the hammer that Snorri held before him.
I'd take that back if I were you.
Nodding acceptance of what he had to have known must come next, Snorri did as he was bid, settling into what passed as a ready stance. Gotrek bared his teeth and brandished his rune axe.
It was an accident!
Felix screamed at the top of his lungs.
Tell him it was an accident, Snorri! And Gotrek, I can't believe you have a better friend in this world!
I've killed better friends than Snorri Nosebiter, said Gotrek.
Felix watched in anguish as the two old friends circled each other. There were no more words to be spoken. Gotrek feinted left, then struck a short blow for Snorri's right shoulder. Half blind with tears, Snorri saw it late, parrying on his hammer with a somber clang and replying with a punch across Gotrek's jaw. Gotrek took a step back to steady himself, then thumped out with the butt of his axe and cracked something under Snorri's armpit. The old slayer took it with barely a grunt, swinging out with hammer and mace while Gotrek parried with a cold, simmering wrath.
Stop this!
Felix croaked, realizing that it was no longer just Snorri with tears in his eyes. This could not be happening. Felix pinched the skin of his wrists between glove and sleeve. Surely this must be another dream. The two dwarfs fought through the raging snow in bitter silence, barely even moving from the spot in which they'd started, their efforts punctuated only by the crunch of muscle and bone and Snorri's racking sobs. It appeared even. Snorri had the clear advantage in brawn and the benefits of Max's healing, but Gotrek's axe balanced those odds considerably. Felix gave his head a violent shake. He couldn't believe he was even thinking about this, but nor did he dare to intervene. Snorri swung his hammer for Gotrek's temple with a shuddering sob, only to see it blocked, then followed through with a kick of his mace that Gotrek turned aside by a deft interception with his knee. Snorri's metal leg was pushed behind him and landed in the snow amidst a loose pile of coins. He flung out his arms for balance, presenting Gotrek with as clear an opportunity for a killing blow as he was ever likely to see. But it was as if the Slayer didn't even see the opening, instead knocking Snorri back onto his feet with a jab from his axe butt. Gotrek was holding back, Felix realized. Kolya and the others might not even have noticed, but Felix had known the Slayer too long. Had it been otherwise, then Snorri Nosebiter would never have stood a chance.
"Fight Snorri properly," said Snorri. "Let him die like a Slayer. Let him walk in the Ancestors' Hall. Let him do something right."
Felix watched with his hand over his mouth. He must have misheard. Surely even Snorri could not think of this as some act of kindness. With his one eye scrunched tight, Gotrek unleashed a strangled roar and struck low. Snorri parried it, but Gotrek came again. Again Snorri blocked, but there was no chance for him to counter now before Gotrek's axe came for him again, and he was forced to give ground under a torrent of blows. Snorri fought furiously with tears running down his cheeks and blocking his squashed nose. Gotrek pressed him back with his eye still closed. Both wanted to die, although neither wanted to kill. But they were both still Slayers, to the end. Gotrek's star metal blade clove through Snorri's metal leg just below the attachment to his thigh. Snorri wobbled, an idiot smile on his tear-stricken face, as Gotrek then cracked the flat across his mouth and knocked him down. The old dwarf looked up with a full face, wet eyes meeting Gotrek's one and seeing peace. "No," thought Felix. "No, no, no." He looked away. There was a wet crack, then a thump. Felix buried his eyes in his hand and wept. Tears blurred the gaps between his fingers, but beneath him he saw blood seeping through the snow around his feet. There was a moment's silence, and then a voice at his side.
"We're done here, manling. I should never have let him talk me into that journey to Karak Dum. I knew I would regret it."
Pulling his hand from his face and wiping tears into his beard in the process, Felix looked up. The Slayer's one eye was dead, his face a funerary mask of someone Felix no longer recognized. His voice, however, was rune-hard and deadly clear, and it brooked no argument.
"On my oath, you are going back to the Little One, where you belong."
Epilogue. Early Spring 2525. Teliznia burned. The Tursa's stubborn earth huts glowed a fitful bronze, choking in smoke whilst yielding the barest flicker of flame. These were the last weeks of winter. The snow over the eastern oblast had become heavy as it turned slowly to ice, and the Tursa's wood stores were all but exhausted. Tables and chairs had been used for cooking, or whittled into arrow shafts. Even the precious stocks of dried grass and animal feed had been consumed weeks ago, while the animals' dung, normally reserved over the deep winter as a fuel in case Rasputitsa did not relinquish the roads before the wood stores ran low, had been turned to shoring up the stockade. There was not a single drop of kvass. In short, there remained precious little in Teliznia of fit state to burn, but the Kurgan were determined to make a pyre of it just the same. The wise woman did not know why, But the smoke billowed up into the endless blue expanse of the Leddevremya sky. It would have been visible for hundreds of miles. A tribute pole, 2 miles high, erected in blood and ash by the destroyers of Taliznia. Perhaps that was the reason. But she suspected that gave too much credit to their intelligence. Watching from horseback half a mile out from the sputtering south stockade, she saw marauder horsemen race circuits of the conquered Tursa, brandishing the severed heads of its people and yelling at the top of their lungs. In a temporary encampment of rippling skin tents just out of bow range of the stockade, large bearded men with arms decked in silver rings fought over what meagre loot the vanquished of Taliznia had not already eaten or burned. It was all precisely as she had foreseen it. The wise woman had shown these events and others to the dreams of so many. That was her gift, to cast dreams of portent into the ether, that they might find a home in the unconscious of one to whom her prophecies bore special resonance. Through dreams, she had foretold the Troll King's fall, the Auric Bastion's collapse, the sack of Raxspire and Badenhof and Beckerfen, and scores of other towns and forts that she knew only by the image of them aflame. Sometimes she wondered how it would feel to have a dream of her own.
"You share your dreams with all, Morzana, or whatever name you now go by. Visions that could make an empire, or break one."
The wise woman pursed her lips, studying the black eddies in the rising smoke. For a passing moment, they formed sweeping black wings, a crown.
"Perhaps,"
she answered, although she was alone but for the horse and the cutting oblast wind.
"No one I have forewarned has cheated my fate yet."
"Is that regret, I hear?"
"This is not the first time I have watched my home burn."
An ululating cry carried from the Kurgan encampment, and she watched the Tsar and his chosen champions parade out from the slow-collapsing stockade in the glittering war gear of Stefan Taksak and the Dushaika Rota.
"These were brave men. I gave you my soul. But I still have a heart."
"Your pain soothes me in my oblivion, my daughter. I will taste of it more in the coming days."
Morzana bared her sharp teeth in a reluctant smile. She knew. She had seen it. Why else would she be here?
"The Demon Slayer and his companion will try to stop you."
The wind passed cold laughter over her ears.
"They will try, but they are destined to fail."
"How many times have I watched others make such a claim about those two?"
"This time is different. The world is different. You have foreseen their demise, and through you have I willed it so."
Morzana shivered as the air around her cooled. A darkness bled into the sheer blue sky, and the smoke of Taliznia rose like a horned black head to regard her. Small in her evil, insignificant in her power, and but transient in her immortality. She nodded obediently and turned her horse around. It was a long way to the Empire.
"Yes, Dark Master."
That was Kinslayer by David Gaiman. Read by Jonathan Keenan. This recording is copyrighted to Games Workshop 2018.
Audible hopes you've enjoyed this programme.